been talking about the connection. Father Marx, you know, made it clear and was really one of the few people speaking about this on a national and international level, where the fact of it is that, as Dr. Joseph quoted Father Marx's statement and showed how these two very, these intrinsic evils of contraception and abortion flow from the same tree. They come from the same font. But even a little further, Father Marx realized, and further as he kept talking about this, is that abortion really is the fruit from contraception. So they both flow from the same tree, but are direct consequence of the contraceptive mentality. And contra, meaning against life, contra, then the natural thing is we don't want the child. We don't want to be pregnant. So the natural, quote, fruit of that is, what must I do now that I have this, quote, unquote, unwanted pregnancy? So we see how they flow. And that is why HLI, Human Life International, is one of the few apostolates that keeps this subject very front and center. And there are many wonderful Catholic apostolic institutions and organizations doing phenomenal work in many areas. But in reality, until we put an end to this mentality against life, we're never going to undo the rest of it. Because they all flow. They start with this rejection of the beauty of life. And that's why I told Dr. Joseph Meany that among the much of the content of his presentation to kind of set the agenda was the fact that he kept constantly talking about good news, God's plan, God's desire, the beauty of human sexuality, the beauty of marriage, the beauty of family. That's what we got to talk about. So, and the idea here is the church is for the beauty of God's plan, God's will, and we have to talk more about that. And this is what Father Marx recognized, and that we needed as a church to preach and to teach. And, you know, I said this the other night that, you know, to some at the table, if I received $5 for every time I have heard, Father, our priest never talks about contraception, abortion, or any of the issues. So, or you're the first priest I ever hear talk about that, or our priest is afraid to talk. If I had $5, as I said, I'd be a very, very wealthy millionaire. Because this is the problem. And yet, why are we afraid to talk about something beautiful? Why are we afraid? See, if we start with the negative, which we shouldn't, we're not going to get anywhere. You start with the beauty. You start with the good. You start with the true. And that's what I love about Father Marx. You know, he looked at it from both ends. And in a way, he had a double-barreled shotgun. You know, there were moments when he used the beauty bullet, and there were moments when he used the contra, in the sense of the negative bullet, to kind of show the consequence. And we need both. But if we start by talking about what is good, what is beautiful, what is true, that's attractive. And so it's interesting, you know, that young man that came up to me in the Manila Mall, you know, 25-year-old young man struggling, you know, with promiscuity and the issues of masturbation and all the various things, pornography and a whole litany. That what happened was he lost an understanding of who he is, his own beauty, his own awe, his own wonder. And so he needed to be reminded. And, you know, and so 45 minutes in the middle of one of the largest malls in the world, we talked about what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. And that's what we got to do more of. And I'm going to give you an example of this. And again, Father Marx really grabbed hold of this. And that's why, you know, he was well-loved, well-respected, and also at the same time quite despised by many, because he pointed out the thorn, the splinter, and tried to get people to see it. But, you know, it makes me think, you know, Dr. Joseph, you were just talking about fatherhood. And I remember this young father came up to me recently and said, you know, Father, I need a little advice. I said, sure, what is it? And he said, I caught my 15, 16-year-old son looking at pornography. And, you know, we've done everything we possibly could. The only computer in the house is in the middle of the house, you know, and so forth and so on. We've done everything to prevent, you know, this possibility and access. There's no Wi-Fi in the house. I mean, it's a hardwired unit to prevent all that activity. And I said, well, what did you do about it? He says, well, I reprimanded him, and he's punished. I said, and? He says, what do you mean by and? I said, well, what did you do? He says, well, I reprimanded him and I punished him. And? He goes, what do you mean by the and? I said, well, why did you not talk to him about what's happening? That the way he's going about dealing with his own maturity and what's happening to his body, what's happening to him emotionally, what's happening is something good. Not the pornography, not the acting out on it, but that his body is being prepared. That God is preparing him for something, if he's called to the marital life, for something spectacular, something beautiful, something good. And the father looked at me like I was talking about the planet. And I'm thinking, and this is a good Catholic man. He got a beautiful family. I'm thinking, and then I looked at him and I said, let me ask you. I mean, if you can't talk to your own son about the beauty of human sexuality, then let's stop for a moment. And I said, let's talk about your struggle. And his head went completely down, which means he's having the same problem. Well, of course you can't talk to your son if you yourself are having the same issues. So if you don't understand the beauty of human sexuality, and as you said, if you have succumbed yourself to the temptations and you've given way to them, then you are not a sharpened tool in the hand of God to do great work. So we have to understand the vocation. We have to understand the beauty. And this is what I love about Father Marks. And now some of you in here are familiar, obviously, with HLI Ireland. You've been actively involved with Patrick and the great team and Therese. And, you know, but Human Life International, founded by Father Marks in 1972, is the Human Life Center. And the reason why Father Marks got into this, and Dr. Joseph, again, talked a little bit about his history. And he got into this because of the descent of Humanae Vitae. He realized himself that there was a great error. And in this error, as a sociologist, all right, just studying human nature, just looking at it in its practicality, in its behavior, that if you don't, and this is what Paul VI saw so eloquently, that because some people will say, why doesn't the church just get out of the bedroom of people? Because, you see, Blessed Paul VI understood that you couldn't keep this issue hermeneutically sealed. It wasn't just going to stay in the bedroom. It's going to seep out into the culture. And all those prophecies that he said, they all have come to bear. And the worst of all is governments using it for population control. So it's not just a bedroom issue. It never has been, never will be. And it's not just because of between couples. And Father Mark saw the great illusion. He saw the lie. And so he entered into the conversation. And by 1981, as this sadness was spreading around the world, he realized that if we don't bring the truth of the gospel of life and the truth that the church teaches about the beauty of marriage and the beauty of life, that this error is going to spread like a wildfire. And so what he did, which is quite remarkable, is like Patrick and like many others, he identified other leaders around the world. And by identifying, he identified their strengths, what they were doing. So for example, if he'd have come here in 1982... I don't remember his first year when he came to Ireland, but what he did is he recognized local leaders and who were already engaged in the conversation or maybe was starting to begin that conversation. So he said, we want to work with you. But he didn't take over the work. That was never, ever, and still is not HLI's policy. We identify and support local leaders because you know the culture, you know the language, you know all the issues that are surrounding the issue. And that's why for us, you know, and I have to be careful. I was telling Ms. Barbara the other night at the table that for me to come in, let me give you an example. We're going to be visiting some with priests over the next 4 or 5 days, you know, and a lot of lay leaders as well. But the one thing that, you know, Patrick and I have been talking about as we speak, especially to my brother priest, and as Father Giordano and Dr. Joseph will be part of that the one thing we have to be careful of is that we know that there's been decades of issues in Ireland. And if we go in and just to rattle the cage, we've done nothing right. We will basically have prevented any opportunity for any further conversation. There has to be an exercise in prudence. And that's why it's important to work with local leaders so that we assist, we provide, in many cases, materials, we provide resources, sometimes it's financial resources, depending on what part of the world it's in. But the main thing is to support the local leaders and to give them the resources they need. And sometimes that need is to educate. sometimes to provide actual training and understanding of the issues. So you come in and you reinforce and you guide and you mentor and you train them and you equip them so that they can go out into the battlefield. And so that's very important, and to know that we're doing this together. So that's just kind of in a nutshell, a little bit about what we're doing. We've worked in over 160 countries. We've been actively engaged and currently engaged in pretty much about 100 right now. And it fluctuates. It always goes up and down. But the main thing is we have directors on each of the continents. I offered Patrick and Therese to become the country director of Antarctica, but they have not volunteered yet. They're a little concerned. So it's really the only landmass that we don't have an actual director of. So if you want to volunteer, I'm looking for a volunteer, you know, to go to Antarctica. The penguins need a little assistant there. You know, so, but everywhere else we are. And we, you know, and as you know, Father Giordano is our director in our Rome office. And Father Giordano, who's going to be, he's ordained about 9 years now as a deacon and working towards his 10th year as priest. And if I got my numbers right, okay. And, you know, and Father Giordano, again, you know, was nurtured and given great cultivation and guidance by the previous director, who is now the late Monsignor Ignacio Barrero, who was our director and was with Dr. Joseph in Rome for almost 20 years, you know, and dedicated himself, you know, to furthering this message and working with seminarians, working with priests, actually helping Father Giordano with his doctrinal work, you know, along with so many others. And, you know, so again, it's passing on that legacy. So one leader entrusting the leadership to a new, that's all very important. So we have to hear. Now, what I want to say with this and just is encourage you, just to keep encouraging you. I know that many of you told me at the table, Father, I know you have a topic to talk about this afternoon. But, you know, and someone said, we already talked about that a few times. We need a pep talk. We need to be encouraged. And all of you here have known you've been fighting the good fight. You know, you've been really working, you know, to educate people, work with people. The referendum was something many of you have been working to deal with for over a year, and you should be commended. And, you know, and I want to thank you for that, but where do we go from here? You know, what do we do? And that's part of the reason, you know, why we it's a beautiful time to be together. Part of this was retreat. Part of this was obviously prayer time, spiritual regrowth. You know, camaraderie, fellowship, some good laughter, you know, getting to meet each other, know each other, listen to each other, and receiving some wonderful content for reflection and contemplation. But really, with all that said now, at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, we're going to be given the boot, and that's not in the back of the car. You know, I learned that word when I went to Australia, and someone said, Father, we're going to put your stuff in the boot. I said, boot? What's the boot? And so, learn new words. But the idea, we have to have a real understanding that the work continues, and it must continue, and we have to find ways of re-engaging, strategizing, creating new objectives, new goals, and we do have a fight ahead of us. There's no doubt about that, all right? But that's going to take our effort and our prayer and our commitment and our resolve, you know, to exhaust ourselves. And, you know, at the end of the journey is when we have exhausted ourselves and we've fought that good fight, we lay our heads to rest that final time, and we take that final breath, then we wake in the arms of our Lord, and he says, come, my good and faithful servant. You know, that's what we want to hear. You know, I am not naive. I'm 52 years old. All of these troubles that were going on before I was even born, all right? And so for me to think that I'm going to resolve it in my lifetime, I would love to see it resolved. The probability is it's going to pass on to another generation. But what are we doing to give to the new leaders that are coming forward? And we have to identify new leaders. We have to work hard to look at. I mean, look at this room, okay? Now, I'm bald, so you don't know what color my hair is. But the great many of us in here are well over the age of 50. That's a clear sign, all right? So we recognize that we have to identify, and we have to engage a new generation, and we have to find a way of entering into that conversation to bring up new leaders to be able to take on this baton so we can fight this good fight. And there are some of them here. It's beautiful to see a lot of young people here, young couples here. And, you know, by the way, Dr. Joseph, our young couple behind there, you said you have 5 daughters? He said he's already in the negative testosterone. If he's lost a third every time, he's already in the negative. I mean, my God. You know, so, but we have to recognize that this work to bring Ireland back and to bring the world back is, we got to exhaust ourselves. And so don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep your heads high. And for every little failure, I mean, a sense of a loss, not a failure, a loss, you know, it is what it is. But we must keep going. You know, Father Mark said this, when Malta falls, Ireland falls, and when the Philippines fall, it's all over. Now, what he meant by all over, he never said. But my point is Malta pretty much is collapsed. Ireland is in a dangerous direction, and the Philippines, very sadly, is following. Three Catholic countries. And so we got to do everything we can to prevent that. So please, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep going. And, you know, and we're in this together. So I look forward to continuing working with you and to be a part of that journey as long as the Lord wishes it to be. And, you know, and we'll just fight to the end. And I'm going to leave you with a little image, and I think it's very important to realize it spiritually. So every day, I shared a story with a few of you. Every day, we go out into the battle. So I'm going to use the image of a knight. A knight wears armor. So that you go out, every day you put on your armor. St. Paul says put on the armor of Christ. St. Peter says put on the light of Christ. So every day we put on that armor. We put on the good news. We put on Christ. And we go out into the battle. And guess what? Our armor gets chinked. Our armor gets beaten. It gets dented. All right? And you know, because we're out in the battle. So we come home at night. We take off our armor. And how do we get all those dents out of it? We go before the Lord and we pray. And we become filled again with his grace and with his love. Which means we take the spiritual hammer and we knock all the dents out. We hang up the armor on the hook, and the next morning we get up and we put that same armor right back on and right back out into the battle again. That's what it means to exhaust yourself for Christ. Right? That's what it means. So it would be easy to say, let someone else do it. No, the Lord has called each of you by name. We're in this together. So I pray that you have a blessed evening. I'm going to turn this over to Patrick, who's anxious to get going. And so that we can finalize the rest of the afternoon. And so, but be assured of prayers. Keep the rest of the week in prayer for us as we journey, especially into Northern Ireland, to talk more about these issues. And let's pray that, you know, maybe our brothers and sisters in Northern Ireland can stay off the assault that's coming and maybe have a wonderful opportunity to come back to help the people in Southern Ireland to realize what they've done and overturn it. So let's keep that in our prayers, please.